Welcome, my friend. You are listening to Read Clean YA with CJ, the podcast for teens and young adults who want to explore exciting worlds, deep themes, and epic stories without the objectionable content. I'm your host, award-winning author CJ Malacy, and in this episode, we are going to dive into an author interview with Trisha Goyer. Trisha Goyer is the author of more than 85 books. She writes both fiction and nonfiction related to family and parenting. This USA Today bestselling author has also won 2 Carol Awards and a Retailer's Best Award. She was also an ECPA Gold Medallion nominee and a Christie Award nominee, and won Writer of the Year from Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference. A beloved author of Amish fiction, as well, having written The Big Sky and 7 Brides for 7 Bachelors series, she has spoken at events such as MomCon, Raising Generations, and Teach Them Diligently conferences, and is the host of the podcasts The Trisha Goyer Show and The Daily Bible Podcast that she co-hosts with Michelle Hill. A homeschooling mom of 10, including 7 by adoption, Trisha is also a grandmother of 4 and a wife to John. With a busy life, she understands the importance of making every word count. Trisha, welcome to the show.
CJ, it is so great to be here. It's always fun hanging out with you when we pass each other at conferences and get like 2 minutes to talk.
Yes, I know. I love the podcast opportunity to have more than a 2-minute conversation.
Yes.
And I always love talking to you, and every interaction I've had with you has been a blessing. And I can't wait to talk about your book today. So for our listeners, they heard in your bio that you've written many, many, many books, but today we're talking about Breath of Bones, and you co-wrote this with your son, Nathan, right?
Yes.
So this story is tons of fun. It gives you that World War II historical fiction element, but then you have these fantastical features as well. So could you give our listeners a little peek behind the curtain of what this story is about?
Yes. In Jewish legends, there's something called the Golem, and it's in Prague, which is former Bohemia. Now it's in Czech Republic. And there was this legend of this Golem in the 14th century. A Jewish rabbi built the Golem out of clay. So I guess sculpted the Golem in order to protect the Jews from people that were wanting to harm them. And so that's a legend. If you go to Prague, which I was just there in December, you're walking around, there's Golem, like little statues and little things for the Golem that he's still considered like a protector of Prague. And so the premise is, what if during World War II, they tried to resurrect the Golem to protect the Jewish people from the Nazis? And so that's just like the overarching. And so we have a descendant of the rabbi, and then we have a female reporter who's trying to figure out what's happening. And then they ended up joining up the resistance in World War II.
I had no idea that that was based on an actual legend, that the Golem was a legend. Wow. See, me showing how much more I need to know about history, but that is fantastic. I loved that. I had no idea that was part of the story. So you took an actual historical legend. And then one of the things I love about you in your books is that you do so much meticulous research. So your history and all of the things that happen in this story are things that have actually happened in World War II, right?
Yes, absolutely. So there's actually newspaper reports that are real newspaper reports. So in the beginning of the chapters, not all of them, but they'll have a clipping from a newspaper, and those are actually taken from newspapers.com. It's like my favorite thing. I go and dig through the archives and search for different words and find clippings that are there. In our book, there's a high Nazi official that was assassinated, and he was actually the only high Nazi official that was assassinated during World War II, and it was by the Czech resistance. So all the dates, the times, the things that were happening in the history part of it are true. We just add this historical legend, a fantasy element to it. And then we add a steampunk vibe. So it has dirigibles, you know, airships, and the Nazis have spider tanks that crawl through the towns. Between me, Nathan, and our writing, I'd be like, oh, well, we can't have this on this day. This is what happened. And so we would often have to rework our plot so that it follows true history, which I'm a homeschooling mom. I also speak at homeschooling conferences. So I could tell other homeschooling moms, like, your kid will actually learn. Like, you could count this as school for your teen, or, you know, if you want to learn more about history yourself, you can learn in the middle of this chase, adventure, Golem happening in this novel.
Yes, the spider tanks got me. I could just picture them, and I was getting so freaked out. I was like, oh my goodness. Yes. What if that was coming down the street? It was fun to have those kind of fantastical steampunk elements, knowing that this is real history. That's one of the funnest history lessons ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have real history, but
in fantasy ways, that resonates in a different way. You know, it kind of sticks with you because stories stick with us. And when we can bring history to life through story, I think that there's something uniquely powerful in that. I didn't love history as much as a kid until I picked up some historical fiction novels. Yes. And then it came to life because suddenly it wasn't this person with just a name in a history book and a lot of dry information. It was a human being who lived this crazy life, did all these things and walked on this earth before I did. And it made it something that was tangible and real and made history matter to me in a different way than it ever had before.
Yeah. So I love the Czech Republic. My daughter is a missionary there and she lives there. She teaches university now, but she went over as a missionary. But I've been to Prague 10 times. I was just over there in December and walking. I'm like, oh, this is where this battle happened in our book. But before that, for centuries, people were walking on the same cobblestone. There's statues of the saints. There's the buildings are there. Prague was never bombed during the war. So all the ancient things are still there. And so we have history all around us. There's places when I research, I'm like, oh, I've walked by that. I didn't know this thing happened, but because I'm researching for a novel, then we're tying it in. I was able to go underground Prague. So underground Prague, they had to build it up because of the Vltava River floods. And so last time I was there, under the town hall, there's all these underground caverns and tunnels, which Nathan and I wrote that into the book because I had heard, but I hadn't been there or researched it. And as I was down there, I'm like, oh, it's just like in our book. Like, we got it just right. So it's so fun as I'm walking around. I went on a tour. I went by myself. I was visiting my daughter. She lives 2 hours away and she was busy for the day. My son-in-law had the kids and I'm like, I'm going to go to Prague by myself. As I'm walking around with tour guides, it was freezing cold and I was just in this element of thinking of my story. And like, these people have no idea. Like in my mind right now, I'm thinking about this book. I'm thinking about the next two books and what's happening. And this is like real history that is happening all around us. And the tour guide, I might have annoyed him.
I love it. I love that you've actually been able to go there and you feel that in the story. Mm. When you read the book, there's something about it that just comes to life. And it's because you know the smells and the feeling and what it's like to actually be in Prague. And so there's something that makes it even more real. And yes. I love that element as well. How did you end up here? Because you've written Amish fiction and you've written parenting books, so many different things. Trisha has a huge catalog. So if you're listening to this episode, go check out her books. I'm sure more than just Breath of Bones will capture your imagination. But how did Breath of Bones come to be?
Well, I would say the seed of it is due to our mutual friend, Kristen. I blame her because I was writing like Amish fiction in World War II. She's like, you should read this. I'm like, I don't read that sci-fi fantasy. She's like, no, they're really, really good. You're going to like them. I'm like, I don't know. So that was kind of in my mind. Her always like, you should read this. You should read this. And then Nathan, he writes and he's written since he was little. I homeschooled Nathan. And so he would always write. And I knew he wanted to write speculative fiction. So I'm like, hey, Nathan, we should go to Realm Makers because I had also heard of that from different people. And I knew that would be a writer's conference, would be more of the things he wanted to write. So I was just like, this will be fun. We'll go up. It was only like a 6-hour drive. Let's go do this. And I remember being there, so blown away by the community, by the excitement, by the energy, and Steve Lobby, which I've known him. We met in 1994 when I was pregnant with Nathan, who is now 30. And I remember being there with Nathan. Then I introduced him to Steve and Steve's like, oh yeah, Nathan, I remember when your mom was pregnant with you. And he goes, that's why your voice sounds familiar. It was the perfect moment. But I remember being there and Kara Swanson was having a book launch party of her second book in her Peter Pan retelling series. And as we're sitting there, they were like having a trivia of all the characters and these people were answering questions and there's energy. The room was packed. I turned to Steve like, who are these people? Like, what is going on here? Because it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Like, yes. And Steve goes, come to the dark side. And I'm like, Steve, I'm never going to write this. I'm just here with Nathan. Like, literally 3 years later, I'm like, Steve, I'm going to write for you. But it was this youth and energy and excitement about writing. I mean, I think younger people today also like, oh, a publisher's not interested. I'll just publish it. Like, it's just for the love of storytelling and the love of story ideas and description and working together. It's different. I mean, I've been going to writers' conferences again since the early 90s. Right. And so it was seeing this joy kind of rekindled in me. So I went a couple of years after that. And as I was going, again, filling my mind with ideas. And then one day I was sweeping. And as I'm looking at my little shelf with all my books of Prague, and there was one about the golem, it was like that moment Nathan, what if we wrote about the golem from Protect the Czech People and put him in World War II? He's like, oh, we can make him a robot. So, and it was like that moment, yes. Which has been awesome. And I will say all the historical stuff, not all of it, but a lot of the historical stuff I will stick to. I will like research and do that stuff. And Nathan is a lot of the action, big scenes at the end where there's a lot of stuff and there's fights type of stuff. Nathan did that. I wouldn't have taken it to that level. My little fights in my books are like little, and he's like, let's do this. And so yes. It's amazing. And then some of the plot twists that he would come up with, like, oh, that's so good, which is, as a homeschooling mom, I'm like, oh, like, this is pretty cool that I taught you how to read. And now you're like plotting books. And just before we got on this call, I'm working on book 3 with him. And I got to a chapter that he had just written. And usually I'll have to like, oh, I should add a little bit more description here, or I'll like add a little bit dialogue here. But some of his chapters, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And so it's like almost as you're writing a book, if you just happen to open the next chapter and it's already there and it's like really good with a twist that you never expected, I'll be
so
like,
so cool.
What? I didn't even think about that. And I say it's getting easier. We're writing book 3 now, Breath of Bones, trying to figure out like, is his feelings are going to be hurt if I add more description or do this? And finally, we just got to the point where I'm working on this scene, you're working on this scene, and then he goes and maybe adds more action to my scenes, and I go and add more description. So that's how it came to be. I came up with the initial idea, but I will say a lot of the plotting and the plot twists are what he came up with, and he did a lot of the rough draft writing.
That's so neat. It must feel like one of the coolest full circle moments for you as a homeschool mom, being like, I've worked with him on all these things growing up, and now here he is working with me on this project together. I think that's such a neat experience that not a lot of people get, and that you guys did a fantastic job. I loved Breath of Bones. It was such a fun story. And one of the neat things is that you do touch on different themes within that book. And one of the things I love talking about on this podcast is the deeper themes within a story. So would you mind sharing with our listeners a little bit more about some of those themes from your book?
Yeah, absolutely. So the overall theme is like, we are created for a purpose. And so Golem was formed for a purpose initially, and man tried to repurpose him from God's original purpose. And so it really is trusting the creator and how he created things, even when we don't understand, and try not to take God's creation, I guess, into our own hands. And this will even tie in further in book 2 and book 3. You're going to see a lot of these themes. We are called for a purpose also. So if we're created beings, we are called for a purpose. So the purpose is not because we need to live up to something. Right from the beginning, we know that his grandfather was the one that had this legend. And he's trying to earn something. It's because of who we are. Katerina is trying to earn her father's attention. Yosef's kind of trying to live up to his great-grandfather's legend. And so really is like, who are we? Who is our purpose? And we don't have to act to earn something. We don't have to act to live up to something or get someone's attention. But God does have good plans and purposes for us that we need to step into, and also honoring how God made things and created things and not try to put our own stamp on it.
Purpose is a theme that resonates with me regularly, because there is something in every human being that wants to be told, you matter and your life has meaning. You have a purpose for walking this earth. There's an intentional design behind who you were created to be. And I think that theme is one that just can resonate so deeply because of that echo in every heart. And you guys did a beautiful job, because you see it in different ways. You see it with the golem, because it's a created thing, but then you also see it in Yosef, like you just said, and in Katerina too, and trying to be this journalist and make a splash and make a difference through her writing, but almost feeling like, yes, they have to achieve something because of somebody else. And then that realization that we all need to come to at some point, that no, it's not because of someone else, it's because of who I was made to be, that I get to walk in this purpose and fulfill this calling. And I think as we come to that realization in our own lives, we can more fully be who God created us to be. It's like, not for everyone else, it's because he made me, and he made me on purpose with a purpose. And as we can embrace that, there's this freedom and joy that comes as well.
And even through really, really hard things, When I first started writing World War II, I interviewed a lot of World War II veterans and Holocaust survivors. The initial men that I interviewed had liberated a concentration camp. And wow. When they would start talking, it was like they went from past tense to present tense. Like, I see this. There is this. I smell this. It was like they were there again. And I'm like, wow, do you wish that never happened? Like, and they're like, no. Once I stepped into that camp, I knew what I had been fighting for. And what if we hadn't done that? What would have happened? And it was like they realized their purpose, even though they were crying during the interviews because their best friend was killed right next to them or different things they faced. But it was really, really hard. But when they got there, it's like they were so thankful that they could walk through that to be there. And that was like that purpose. And just seeing that in their eyes, they were old. I interviewed them and they would, you could see the youth, you could hear the stories, like they would just transform.
Wow.
Because what they did mattered. And I think that's hard for veterans in later generations didn't have that. World War II, like they were the heroes. My dad that just passed away last July, he was a Vietnam veteran and he would never talk about it because he was not considered a hero. It was a different one, a different thing, even though they gave the same types of sacrifice. And so I really think that sense of purpose and why we do what we do really makes a difference. And I think just that's the very first people I interviewed. And so that has kind of stuck with me, that the war, World War II, is just like everyone was involved. Like no one in this planet could just live their own lives and not be involved. But what are we going to do? Are we going to step up and do the right thing, even though it's hard? Or are we going to hide away? Or and that didn't work. Like you had to step forward some way, either to protect yourself or try to help other people. So it just really has been with me for the last, I guess, 30 years now. As I started, wow. I guess 25 years now, when I started interviewing veterans, that ordinary people do matter. And I think that comes out in a lot of my books, and that definitely came out in this one.
Yes. And it's interesting, because I think oftentimes in life, there's this desire to push against hard times, push against the crisis, push against the pain and the trauma and the craziness. But it's often through that that God works in ways and allows those ordinary people to step up courageously in such a way that you do, you know, find a purpose that you can't find in the easy times in quite the same way, you know, and it's choosing to go to those difficult places. And it doesn't have to just be in a world war. It can be choosing to courageously go care for that person in need, or to love on that person who's going through something hard, or showing up for a friend when they just lost someone. You know, it doesn't have to be huge things, but if we always try to avoid the hard, we will never, I think, fully embrace the beauty of what God wants to do through those trials, you know?
Yeah. And one thing, I've been on a health journey lately. I've lost 90 pounds over the last couple of years. And just, it's a struggle. Like when you have old habits and stuff. And one of the quotes I got from my health coach that's been helping me is, she said, the struggle is the way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, when you struggle, you learn to do things differently, or you learn to think differently, like, or you turn to God to help you. Like if things were easy, you wouldn't struggle. Like when we start writing, if the very first thing we wrote got published, even if it was horrible, I wouldn't have become a better writer trying to figure it out to get published. So we go through the struggle and get the no's, get the rejections, have the hard things. We learn how to do things better. We learn how to think better. We learn how to make better choices. We learn how to build a better community. We learn how to turn to God. More often, it is the way that we need to be. And we're like, why is this happening to me? And God's like, because I need you down here to be this type of person with these kind of skills to help these other people over here. So, you know, you could crawl and hide, or you can step up and become the person I need you to be for down the road.
I heard this quote, or somebody said this thing, and I can't even quote who it was. So here I am just copying what they said, but I'm going to say it's not my thing. But they said, if you took a helicopter and got dropped on the top of Mount Everest, you would die from the altitude shock. It is the climb that prepares you for that summit. And I think that that is just such a true thing in life. You know, it is the hard things, the struggles, the climbs that prepare us for those summit type moments. And even those soldiers that you interviewed and going through all they went through in the war to that point where they liberated that concentration camp. And even with all they went through to do that, that was the moment that they experienced their true purpose in a way that they never could have. But it was all those other things that brought them to that place. And I think it's true in our lives now. With your journey, you look fabulous, by the way. But it is, it's that struggle. It's the daily choice to not do something that was a habit before, or it is. And that's how it is in every area of our lives. It's the daily choices to keep moving forward, to keep climbing that mountain so that one day when God brings us to the summit, first of all, we recognize I could never have gotten here without his help. And then second of all, we can appreciate it in a way we never could have had we not gone through that climb to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And helping other people along the way, whether it's other writers or other people working on their health or helping my son get public. I mean, not, you know, he helped me a lot. I'm not, it's not solo for sure. This book would not be here without him, or me. Like we needed to do it together and the things that he brought to it, the things that I brought to it. And then even book two, we're on book three. Book two will be out in June, but it's like, Nathan, we just did that again. Like, and now we're doing it again with book three.
Yes.
And we're hitting our rhythm. And it's just amazing. It's funny. Yesterday, I was like washing dishes and we're finishing dinner and he walks in. I'm like, so I was thinking after we finish this book, he goes, Mom, I need a break. Cause he also works full time. Like, I work, you know, I do lots of stuff too, but it's like, he's like, Mom, I need a break. And I'm like, oh. That kind of makes me sad, right?
Yeah.
Because it is fun. I'm sure, I don't know how long that break, and we're in the middle of writing a book. So sometimes you're like, I need a break after this, but usually I find when I get to the end of the book, then my brain starts like, oh, okay, working on this thing. But it was so funny. It was like, oh, it has been a gift that we have been able to do this together.
Yes, it's so neat. And I'm glad it's a trilogy. So you at least got them for three books and hopefully another one down the road.
We'll see. I don't know. I have so many, because you could do that with any time in history, honestly. There's so many things that have happened in history that, you know, you could just add a little steampunk to it.
And there you go. I love it. So when a reader finishes Breath of Bones, what is something that you hope he or she takes away from them? We've talked about purpose and all these things, but if you could just talk to that reader for a second, what would you want them to hear from you about this story?
Yeah, I think there's like the internal thing and then the external thing. I think the internal thing is to feel like, wow, I matter. Like that thing we were talking about before, like they did not want to get involved in this, but look at what they did. And maybe someone says, I matter. I can do that. I can step out and do the hard thing. But I think externally, over a dinner conversation or visiting with a friend, like, did you know in World War II that Reinhard Heydrich, like, I mean, you know, it's just those type of things. I think it's so amazing. This is why I want to focus on real history, is because they were real people that lived through those events. And I don't want to make stuff up, because what they did was enough. And there's real people in the resistance, in fact, the assassination attempt. I don't know if I'm giving away too much of the plot, but that was like real people. And we ended up watching a documentary about them. We watched a movie. It's called Anthropoid, which was the name of their resistance group. It's an excellent movie. And there's the church in Prague that has memorials to them. Like, these are real people that deserve to be honored. And so someone knows their story, like from a steampunk novel with a big golem in it. If they know more about the true history, I feel like it's honoring those people. So that's kind of the external, like, hey, did you hear about this? Or did you know this happened during World War II? Or did you know there was a legend about the golem in Prague?
Yes.
And then maybe they'll go visit Prague, or maybe they'll look up a documentary. When I was in Prague in December, I wanted to bring home some golem trinkets. And so there's a stand and I'm like, oh, I want one of these and two of these. And people are walking by, they're looking at me like, oh, the golem is so amazing. I just love this legend. And then people started gathering around this little booth. And then, cause he was wrapping up all this stuff for me. And I'm like, go ahead, you can serve her. I don't have anywhere to go. You have to wrap up 10 more things. And so someone buys something and someone else can buy something. And I'm like, you're welcome. He's like, yes, thank you. Because there's all these stands, and it was kind of a cold, drizzle, rainy day that were empty. Like, there wasn't any. But because I was, like, getting excited about this, other people were coming and purchasing. They have no idea who the golem is.
No.
He was handing out little sheets of paper with information. I was in the Jewish district of Prague near the Jewish cemetery, and there's a memorial to the people lost in the Holocaust. But hopefully, like, that excitement from me got – they were taking home souvenirs that they had no idea what I meant. So hopefully people will be like, oh, I know more about this. I can share this history and then honor the people that really lived through it.
Yes, I love that. And I think hopefully the listeners that are hearing this episode can now know that this isn't just a fun story. There really are those historical elements. And I think you really can drop those at a boring conversation at the dinner table and really liven things up, you know?
And it's a fun story also. It's a fun story too.
It's so much fun. I love it. I love it so much. So we are nearing the end of our time, but before we finish, would you mind sharing a little bit more about yourself and what started you on your writing journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up loving to read. We lived near a library. I think it's like fourth grade, we moved near a library, and that was like the best thing ever. So I would ride my little bicycle and get lots of books and like crash because I had too many books I was trying to carry on my bicycle. And so I like to write just like homework wise, like writing wasn't a problem, but I never thought about being a writer. And then after I had my first baby, I was in the church nursery with a friend and she's like, I'm writing a novel. And I'm like, and like literally something inside, like from that moment, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And so we would talk about writing. She lent me some books on being a writer. I would check out books in the library from being a writer. But then we went to our first writer's conference when I was just 22 years old. This young mom went to a writer's conference and just the people that poured into me, it was amazing. And so just going there and hearing about how to write and going back and then submitting stuff and getting rejected for year after year after year. But it was that moment when a friend's like, this is something I'm working on. And she's a published author too, multi-published author, like we both are. But it was like that moment, like, oh, this is, again, this is what I was created to do. It was that feeling, because I still love to read, that, oh, this was what I was created to do. So this theme shows up a lot in my books because I think it's so important.
Yes. Oh, I love that story. And it's neat to see the light bulb moment click on and how God does it in the most random ways. I don't think anyone would think my light bulb moment should happen in the nursery.
In the church nursery, as two little babies are crawling around the floor. It was just her and I in there. We were both in our early 20s sitting there like watching our kids play. Yes. And that was it. So yeah. Neat. And God has just been so faithful and it is fun. And I think this is how you know your purpose, when it's like, I want to do this. Like I wake up in the morning like, oh, I get to write this scene or I have this idea. Or Kristen and I were texting until 11 o'clock last night about a new idea. Like, oh, wouldn't this be fun? I mean, it's just like if it brings joy, just pursue it. And for years, nothing got published. My first novel came out 10 years after my first writer's conference. But I did, like, it's okay. It took me that long to figure out how to actually do the writing.
Yes, I know. I thought when you finished a draft, like your first draft, then you were done writing when I first started. And I read my first draft and realized, no, I'm not done. This is terrible. So, you know, and it is, it's that time again, it takes time to get to the top of that summit. And the journey is what makes it worth it at the end of the day. It is those fun conversations with friends about a story idea that you just can't drop and getting excited about those things. It's what makes this whole journey so fun.
Yeah, I texted Kristen the name of just the book idea. She's like, I'm sold. I don't even care what it's about. I want to read it now. And that's like, you need a friend like that. That's just like, oh, okay. It just makes it fun.
It does. It makes it so fun. And Kristen is one of those fantastic kind of friends. She just gets excited and jumps on board. Love her. Yeah. Well, before we finish up for today, can you share with readers where they can connect with you and find your books?
Absolutely. So just my website is just trishagoyer.com. Trisha's with a C-I-A. So T-R-I-C-I-A. And Goyer is just G-O-Y-E-R. Anywhere on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I might be over TikTok a little bit if it's going to be around. I don't know. just put in Trisha Goyer, my name, and I'm there. I love getting connected with readers. And I don't know, my kids, every time we go someplace, I'm like, oh, I have a friend here. It's like, Mom, is it a real friend? I'm like, you know, if we're messaging, yes, it's a real friend. So far, we've been cool about meeting random people in coffee shops. My kids are like, Mom. But I love people and I love connecting with people. So, yeah.
Yes.
So feel free to reach out.
Yes. And Trisha has some fantastic different types of books and resources as well. So if you're a homeschool mom, then Trisha is the place to go for the things you need.
I just service the whole homeschool family. Do you have children? Here you go. Here's some books. You are struggling with your children as a parent? Here's some parenting resources for you. You like sweet romance? Here we go. Steampunk.
Here it is.
For you too. So,
everything from the youngest in the family to the teen to the parent. You've got it all. It is all there.
One stop shop right there.
Yes. Yes. But really, for the homeschool family, that's what you want. You want all of the resources. So it's
perfect. And a lot of it, because I go to conferences, teach them diligently, or at other conferences, and I talk to all the family members all the time. So it is kind of like serving the community. And I really think that's what writing is. You're serving people. You're entertaining them, educating them, inspiring them. And that's what I love to do. So yeah, come connect with me.
I love it. And it comes through your books and through meeting with you and talking in person. You are such an enjoyable person to be around. So Tricia, thank you for taking the time to join me on my podcast today and talk about Breath of Bones. It was lovely having this conversation with
CJ, you. Oh, CJ, I loved it. Every minute of it. So thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Tricia Goyer. I love getting to talk with Tricia any chance I get, and her stories really are full of history and so much fun. If you are looking for real life history coming to life in a way unlike it ever has before, with those fun steampunk elements and different fantastical features, then I highly recommend Breath of Bones. The sequel will be coming out in June, and this series is so much fun and one that the whole family can enjoy. Thank you so much for listening to Read Clean YA with CJ. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can discover exciting, clean young adult books too.